This is Cameron Guillory here with Mr. David Stacks. He is the director of the Texas Prison Museum, and we're doing our project over the history of the Huntsville Prison. The Huntsville Prison is nicknamed the Walls Unit. What is the origin of the prison and how it got its nickname?
Well, the Huntsville Unit is the formal name for the original unit that was built underneath the Texas prison system heading. A commission was formulated prior to 1848 to identify geographical location, to establish the prison system for the state of Texas. And Huntsville was the geographical area that they chose to establish the prison. And as a result of that, the unit nicknamed the Walls was actually given that name due because of the significant walled boundary of the perimeter of the prison. Certain parts of that prison wall can be as high as 30 feet. Some of it is as high as 15 to 18 feet.
I did not know that. Okay, the prison originally housed women only for immoral practices, and it has now transferred into a men's only prison. What happened for this to take effect, and how has this transformation affected women who are inmates?
You're sharing with me some information that I'm not familiar with or know that it's accurate. The prison originally housed men. The very first prisoner to be sentenced to the state prison system was a man, a Caucasian man from Fayette County for the offense of horse theft. He was soon followed months later by another Caucasian inmate, and then as the prison system continued to be more utilized by the county judicial processes, more and more people came to the prison system. As far as women originally being housed at the Huntsville unit, that was not meant for women, and there were not women kept there for many, many years. However, there were women kept there. That is a fact. Some of the inmates that were women that were sentenced to death and were put on death row were kept in a special area of the facility that was not intentionally or originally meant to house death row female offenders, but they had to find a location for those type of female death row offended persons to be incarcerated. So the Huntsville unit was not originally designed to house women. It was originally designed to house men. But a second part of your question, I think, said what happened for this to take effect and how did it transformation affect women who are inmates? You know, unfortunately, there were women who came to prison and they were not necessarily treated very well. They were abused. That's a matter of fact. If you look at the archives and the Austin Library and things, there were women who were taken advantage of because they were female and because they were prisoners.
Okay. Do you know when did Black Texan inmates become accepted into the prison and how did it evolve?
I'm not sure when the first black inmate was sentenced to prison. I do know this. The prison, after the Civil War, there were several black people who were incarcerated at the Walls. I think before any black Texans may have been convicted and sentenced to the prison system, probably some of the very first black inmates to be kept at the Walls were Union soldiers who were serving the Union Army against the Confederacy. And I don't recall the name of the Union boat that was taken under siege by the Texicans down in Galveston, but there were many black sailors as well as white sailors on that ship who were taken prisoners and deposited into the Huntsville unit there downtown Huntsville.
In 1974, the 11-day siege happened, and it was the longest hostage-taking sieges in U.S. history. What is the story behind it, and what is your perspective on it?
Well, it's hard to believe it. We're coming up on 50 years since that event happened, but that whole event evolved around the idea and the strategy of one inmate by the name of Fred Carrasco. It was more informally referred to as the Carrasco Siege. Fred Carrasco was a very prominent drug dealer and supplier from San Antonio. He basically controlled the heroin and marijuana market from San Antonio down into Mexico. I guess you could relate him to being one of the equivalent to one of the cartels today. But he was able to orchestrate through his connections with his organization outside to have some weapons delivered to an outside trustee here working for one of the officials outside the prison. And as a result of that outside prisoner not wanting to have some significant bad things happen to him or his family, he basically brought those guns in through some spoiled food staples. There were three pistols, a bandolero full of bullets and things of that nature for this siege to occur. Once they were brought in and they were given into the hands of Carrasco and his compadres, Rudy Dominguez and Ignacio Cuevas, that's when they took the hostages up in the education building of Wyndham School there within the Huntsville unit, which is on the third floor of that building. And that is when the hostage situation began. And it did last for 11 days, as your question mentions. My perspective on that is being a retired warden and an employee of the agency, it just shows me the importance of every employee following the rules and regulations. Had the officer at the back gate done his searches properly of the items that were being brought in, he could have thwarted those weapons from ever coming into the prison. Thus, that would have taken a large amount of Carrasco's ability to take hostages and act the way that he and his compadres did.
Some people seem to view the Texas prison rodeo as inhumane, while others viewed it in a positive light regarding the fact that it gave inmates something to be a part of instead of being behind bars. What is your perspective on the Texas prison rodeo?
Well, I worked the Texas prison rodeo as a young correctional officer and didn't really get to pay any attention to the event, as that was not my responsibility. My responsibility was to make sure that the offenders and the spectators kept their distances and there was no inappropriate communications between the two groups. I can certainly understand why there would be differences of opinions of the Texas prison rodeo. I can see why some would say that it would be inhumane, because there are a lot of people even today that think rodeos in general are abusive to animals and things of that nature, and that's their opinion, and I respect their opinion. I think the fact needs to be stated that none of the inmates that participated in the rodeo were forced to do that. It was strictly a volunteer effort on their part. Not only was it a volunteer effort on their part, they had to compete so that only the best cowboys, if you will, were able to perform in front of the live audiences. So I understand that people would think that it might be inhumane because they're prisoners and they may not have a say-so yeah. as to whether or not they wanted to participate. But the fact is that the prisoners that participated in it volunteered, and they had to compete against one another to be able to go to the live show and perform in front of the audiences. Also, it was a way in which they could earn some money to help support their way of life in the prison or send money home to their families. my perspective of the Texas Prison Rodeo is that it was a good event. It served the people of Huntsville well. It served the businesses well. It brought a significant amount of income into the Huntsville area every Sunday. It further, it was an event that the inmates looked forward to, just not the participants and the competitors, but the ones that got to come to the rodeo and view a live performance. So in my opinion, the Texas Prison Rodeo was a very positive thing.
How does the Texas Prison Museum correlate to the Huntsville Prison?
Well, the Texas Prison Museum is a separate entity than the prison system. The Texas Prison Museum is a 501c3 charitable organization that our purpose and how we correlate to the prison is that we tell the history of the prison system from its very beginnings, as I mentioned earlier in this interview, when it was first commissioned in 1848, to its current day. I think the correlation has to be there for us to be able to give an accurate understanding and an accurate, a story to be told about the prison museum, or excuse me, about the prison system. You know, some of the things that happen in prison are things that we never want to repeat in Texas. That's why you don't rewrite history. We need to learn from our mistakes and go forward. But there's also some things that occur in our prison system that makes better men and women out of themselves. So the correlation is that we simply tell the facts of the prison system here at the museum.
What interesting artifacts or main attractions do you have that most guests come to see when they visit?
Probably the most attracted exhibit that we have is the electric chair. That's the original electric chair that was used to put 361 condemned men to death, carrying out their sentence of death. But to me, one of the most interesting parts of the museums is what inmates create while they're in prison, the things that they do to, utilize their time, whether it's something that is creative for a positive reason, such as a painting or some artwork or some type of artistic design, or something bad, like some of the wooden pistols that have been made that have got some very defined patina that would make you think from a distance those are real weapons. So I think the most sought-after attraction is the electric chair, but probably one of the ones that I think is the best are the ones that show the skill sets that these men and women have demonstrated while they have been incarcerated.
From the information that you know, do you think that the Huntsville prison system has evolved in a positive way, and why?
That's a good question. I do think the prison system has evolved in a better way of operating. Is it perfect? No. I don't know of any prison system that is perfect. I don't know of any system in general that's perfect. I think that the prison system, what people don't understand is a prison system is very difficult responsibility to carry out. There's been some significant changes for the good, in my observation, of being a past employee and museum director. There have been some things that have changed that weren't necessarily in the best interest of the inmates, strictly in my opinion, and I base that opinion based on my past interviews with inmates in the past. But all in all, I believe the prison system has certainly improved in its way of treatment toward inmates, just not physically, but medically, as well as programmatic activities that we can offer them in a way that they may be able to rehabilitate themselves.
Do you think the Huntsville prison has more improvement to do?
Oh, I certainly think so. I think as we go on, I don't think we ever should set our sights at a certain level of anything that we do in any organization. I think that we should always strive to see how we can make things better for a individual or a group of individuals or a system or a government or whatever. I think it's a matter of making the best of whatever life hands us, and I think the prison system attempts to do that. They have a very difficult task in doing that because of all the different court interactions now and laws and things. However, when you can keep it down to the very basics, I think that's how you do your improvements.
Do you think the programs inside the Huntsville prison help inmates adjust and gain knowledge on their new life outside?
Yeah, that has been an ongoing charge that the prison system has had for quite some time. You know, starting back in the 60s when Windham School District was established, that has gone a long way to helping inmates learn how to read and write and get their basic understanding of educational skills that they can perform a job out there in the world. If someone is not very educated and they can't do their simple math or can't speak intelligently or write a sentence, they have a very difficult time gaining employment. I think one of the biggest programmatic activities that I see the prison system doing now that I'm very for is the religious practices, giving the inmates an opportunity to change who they are from within, just not get an education, but also change their methods of why they think the way they used to think, why they did what they used to do, and how they can keep from doing it in the future so they can have a productive life once they get out.
How does your job as the director impact people on the Huntsville prison and its system?
I don't know that I have really an impact on the prison downtown. I think the impact that I would have as a director on the system is making sure that all the employees, and just not the employees, but anybody that comes into the prison museum, that we educate them as to how the prison system started, what were some of the things that didn't go so well early on, the things that we made mistakes upon as a government, as a prison system, the things that we've changed to make it better. You know, I'm a firm believer that if you don't know your history, you're going to probably repeat history, and some of it may be good, some of it may be bad. And likewise, that's why I don't think you rewrite history. You keep your history as it is, tell the facts, and make sure you learn from your facts. If it's a good thing, build upon the good thing. If it's a bad thing, then change it and just make it better.
Okay, thank you so much, Mr. Stacks.